Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, you see something wretched. You think, what in the world could I do with this? Answer, send it to us. This is Wretched Radio. We love all things wretched. Sermon stories, articles, illustrations, whatever. Idea at wretched.org. And feel free to text away with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. Sent to 877-282-2337. I think I was almost going to write a jingle there.
Uh-oh, you were.
Wait a second. I think we've got the jingle. Hold on.
Yeah.
We haven't heard that in a bit.
No, we have not.
Please send them there. Hey, you can still leave a voicemail. Not that anybody does that anymore. Jimmy, what's our ratio of text to voicemails?
90 to 1.
Yeah, I would think so. And then I have a confession to make. Have I stopped listening to my voicemails? I don't even think about not listening to my voicemails. I hope I'm right on this, that we've gotten to the point where it's like nobody should actually expect to get a voicemail return, because don't we all kind of agree as a society we just don't do that anymore? What a world. I'm telling you, this little electronic device, it's changing everything. I was just reading an article about that subject because a lot of people are starting to get, I think, rightly so, more interested in the effects of social media. And it's just changing us. It's changing our society. It's changing our attention span. It ain't making us smarter. It just isn't. It doesn't force us to read books. It doesn't allow us any time to meditate or think on things or just to be alone with our thoughts. How dreadful is that? That's why I think when you see a family sit down at a table at a restaurant, what do? Do they take out the menu? No, they get their cell phone up because we can't have a second of silence here. Nothing uncomfortable. Nothing awkward. What does not having a cell phone demand of you when you sit down with another person to spend time, eat, drink some tea? You got to bring something to the party. You got to have something in the barrel. Otherwise, you're just going to fire nothing. And that's hard work. And the cell phone removes all of those cares. We can just go dive into our own little electronic world, reinforcing me. The universe is about me. There's no other. Did I just crack?
I heard it.
Me. I think I did. That's what cell phones will do to you. 877-282-2337. As he then says, use your cell phone to text to us. I'm a hypocrite.
Well, this is from Steve. Todd, where do you get the biblical basis for adiaphora? It's not in the Greek text. So I'm just wondering if you're comfortable using it to explain neutral doctrine.
Yeah, it's just a Greek word. Diaphora means difference. The negates it. So no difference. As you weigh an issue, it's like, there's no difference. I can pick either one. It's called adiaphora. If you don't like the term for whatever reason, because I always confuse the singular and the plural. You got adiaphora and adiapharon, singular and plural. But you can use, if you prefer, gray area, disputable dispensation or dispensations. If you're German, Mitteldinger, or if you want the plural, Mitteldingen. These are the Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 areas. Jimmy thinks this. I think that. We put him on a scale. Yeah, well, there's adiaphora. No difference. And we can choose. And it's more difficult than I think we imagine it is, because it demands so many steps and considerations. I do have to consider the impact of my decision. If I do this, what will it do to others? That is a huge consideration. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think I'm just looking for a beating this week. First, we tried to be helpful on the subject of deportation. Tried anyway. And now the video I think that we're putting up on the YouTube machine, even today, it might cause a little consternation. It's about the people that you're seeing on the YouTube machine, no doubt, that are just, they're melting down. They lost in the 2024 election. And the government, I can't remember which, I think it was the Department of Justice. Maybe there were more branches of the government and divisions that gave people time off if they needed to cry over the election results. Oof. Yeah, you've got people that want to leave the country. They are filming themselves, blathering in their cars that they lost. Okay, it's more than a one-off. And anytime we see that, I don't think it's mandatory, but it is wise to ask the question, why? Why this? What's going on with this? And we do well, without becoming Gnostic or psychoanalysts, to ask the question, okay, what's going on at the heart level? Because typically what you'll see or hear expressed is a fruit, but there's probably a different root. So I tried to come up with a list of what I think might be the reasons these people are in an absolute panic over the election results. And one of the conclusions, one of the lessons that I think that we can pull from it when we see these videos is rather than laughing, and I know it's tempting, I have not always resisted that temptation. I know it's difficult, but these people are lost. And I want to make sure that I'm not a stumbling block to anyone. And this is, I understand why this causes some people to be like, hey, Pally, watch yourself there. What are you trying to do? Turn us into a communist nation? Well, not exactly. But I do think that we need to be mindful that politics is officially a stumbling block. I think it started a number of years ago, more than ever. And I get the challenge of the balance. We can be involved in politics. We should be involved in politics appropriately. Everybody has the ability to use their discretionary time or what they want to do for a living to determine if I'm going to be engaged in politics. But I think simultaneously, we need to ask questions like, okay, how am I speaking to the government as a Christian? What is my message? Okay, for instance, I was reading an article and it was evangelicals, what they want the new administration to do. And really predictable. Ukraine, the war in Gaza, the drill baby drill, all of the, it's like the typical standard conservative issues. And rightly so. But I couldn't help but notice none of them were at least even packaged remotely Christianly. We need to be mindful of that. And we need to consider how we talk. What is our message to the government? Because we're citizens and we're Christians. I know we're Christian citizens, but when we speak as Christians, the world listens. And I think that's the area that I think we should be at least more mindful of. That people, when they hear you speak as a conservative, they hate you. What was it? The American Science? What was the Jimmy? Did you see the story? She was the editor. She resigned because she said that anybody who voted for Trump was a bleeping, bleeping bleep. Mm. Yeah. It's like, whoa, what's up with hatred, animosity? So you speak on conservative issues, you are right. And I need to be mindful of that. And don't you feel the tension? Don't you feel it? Well, I should be able to speak. I've got the right to speak. But adiaphora, by the way, even though I have the right, doesn't mean I take advantage of it. Because I need to ask the question, will this comment on this issue cause somebody to stumble? Meaning it will trip them up when it comes to Jesus. It will either cause, stumbling block has a wide range of meanings. but they all have to do with the same thing, and that is basically salvation and sanctification. Jesus is extremely concerned about not being a stumbling block himself and we not being stumbling blocks. That's what adiaphora is all about. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says that. That's the section of adiaphora. The 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 is the longest treatment on it. Romans 14 is shorter. And in 1 Corinthians 9, about verse 20, give or take, says, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to be all things to all people that I might win some. Why? Because he's following Jesus' lead from Matthew chapter 17, where he is not a stumbling block person. And so as we now start a new political season, because I think we're already talking about the election of 2028, because we love it, don't we? We just get enough of that subject. Let's at least all be mindful of it. That speaking on politics, I didn't say be silent. What I'm saying is when we speak, we need to recognize it can be and likely will be a stumbling block. So you've got to consider, is it more important I make that political comment or help somebody find Jesus? And that ain't always super easy to do. This is Wretched Radio.
The lost generation wandered without direction after World War I. Well, today, there's another war raging. It's a cultural battle, and it's leaving young men disoriented and directionless. Raised on unfiltered entertainment and endless online content, Gen Z is facing unprecedented challenges with loneliness and depression. But there is hope. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson.
Young man, you need to be learning the Bible. Yes, you got to learn your trade, and yes, you need to be learning what you're learning in school. But ultimately, we want to be transformed by the renewal of our mind.
As Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's available right now at Fortis Plus and all of your favorite podcast platforms. And you can also visit FortisInstitute.org to learn more about Dr. Adam Tyson, Way of Manhood, and all of our other content.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today.
I don't know how to talk to my kids about what's happening in the world.
It feels like my faith is constantly under attack.
And if this sounds like you, understand you're not alone. Staying grounded in your faith is a challenge, and that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Fortis Institute offers free daily content to equip you with biblical wisdom for this brave new world, plus exclusive access to live webinars, weekly cartoons, and a community of believers that are standing firm in their faith. All of this at no cost to you. All you have to do is access FortisPlus.org or download our mobile app. And don't just survive in this brave new world, thrive in it. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. And if you are in a position in your life where you can help us with this new endeavor by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be ever so grateful. Again, all of the information at FortisInstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well then, this is, wow, this is Wretched Radio. This is worse than I thought. The editor-in-chief of Scientific American, who has now resigned, how can I tell you what she said about those people who voted for Trump without, let's just say her message to those that did, it involves the letter F. A lot, aggressively. It's just one example. People who are liberal, whose idols are being threatened, they're mad. They're angry. And it's fascinating how they talk about us. And we would be very foolish to not hear them talk about us. They think that our worldview is as deplorable as a worldview that promotes abortion and the mutilating of children. They see those things as good, as right, as necessary. Those things, those are like, oh, how could you not believe in those things? And they look at us and they think that we are deplorable. We need to remember that. What that looks like, well, you get that figured out. You can send it to idea@wretched.org, or you can text away to 877-282-2337.
And staying in that realm.
Do we have to?
Well, this is from Connor. Todd, here's a question for Thanksgiving. My mother-in-law, who is not following Jesus, uninvited a family member to Thanksgiving because she thinks they voted for Trump.
Yeah, there it is.
I feel like this is a step too far into divisiveness, and I dread the thought of celebrating this holiday with her. How do I lead my family through this?
I see her as what she really is biblically. Let's use biblical language. Rather than labeling her progressive, liberal, Democrat, label her lost. Of course she's going to do stuff like that. She's got a darkened mind. She's unregenerate. She doesn't possess the mind of Christ. And we should expect that. And we should see them, not with disgust, not with absolute fury, but instead we should see them as lost. We should see them as the harvest field. And this might be helpful for you. I don't think this is like a perfect rule, but I think it's helpful that there's a distinction between people who perpetrate, they create, they come up with really bad ideologies, and then they try to forward them and impose them. That's one class of people. The majority of folks, they just kind of doop, doop, boop, boop, trip along following it. I think one side deserves a different tone and maybe different contents than the other. Jesus, I think, made this distinction. The scribes and the Pharisees received very harsh lingo from him. Why? Why didn't he talk that way to just regular street folk, Jewish people, or his disciples for that matter? It's because they were the teachers of the law. You are the ones that should know better, and you are perpetrating falsehoods about God. And he called them out harshly, severely. And I do believe we have that option. All of the people that follow those bad ideas, they're just lost. They are the harvest field. I think we need to make sure that we don't follow mother-in-law. I get it. I really do. I get it. Because you might be thinking, well, maybe we shouldn't go to Thanksgiving, which is basically what mother-in-law did to the other relative. Just murdered that person. Which is what that is, by the way. What mother-in-law did was akin to murder. Because what is murder? I don't want you on the planet. I don't want you in my face. I don't want to have to deal with you. I want you gone. And you don't have to accomplish that by killing them. You can do that with what? Your words, separating from them, pushing them away, running away, chilling them out. Those are all forms of murder in the heart. And you don't want to return, I was going to say the favor, but murder of the heart is hardly a favor. See them as lost. And quite honestly, I think right now we all need to go to a spiritual chiropractor for an adjustment. Politics could we at least say for a couple of years that we aren't as focused on it? Could we just say that? And that we find ourselves more concerned, more interested in the salvation of lost souls than we are in regaining lost seats? Can we give it a rest? In fact, I would encourage you. This is just an encouragement. You do with this as you see fit. I'm not your Holy Spirit. But if you're still downloading a lot of the stuff, and I see it, I know it's out there, and we like it. It's more, this is what the Democrats are doing because of this nomination, and now they're saying this, and you get involved in all of that political intrigue. Okay, it's your life. You answer to God as I do. Maybe a little less of that. Maybe a little bit more of a focus on the more eternal matters. And that is the mission of Jesus Christ, that sinners would be saved. Do you know how many Christians have been consternated over politics throughout the centuries? And I could do a quick Google or AI search, but pick it from 100 years ago. So in 1924, we're probably dealing with prohibition back then, the feminist movement, all of, and then a bunch of political issues. And what about that FDR? And what's he going to do once the World War II breaks out? And they spent a lot of energy in that. And I'm not saying they're not important, but they're gone, aren't they? It's just done. It's insignificant now. I know history kind of builds on itself or tears itself down, but it's done. But eternity ain't going nowhere. Heaven, hell, still in business. Both are being populated. And I believe our Savior calls us to keep our eye on the eternal prize. Maybe now's the time for that adjustment. And then you can send your thoughts about that to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
I got some thoughts. Well, I mean, so just more specifically to Connor's question, I think I would say to him that he was talking about his mother-in-law. So yeah. I would say when you and your wife got married, you became one. So
that's right.
She's your mother.
She's your mom.
Honor your mother.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially at this time, whether you can't control her actions
right.
or her attitude towards Trump or anybody that voted for, but I would say Romans 12 comes to mind. If possible,
peaceably.
Be at peace with all people.
Yeah.
So if you have time, pick up The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy.
Oh, that's an excellent book. That's one that really just needs to have a second wave. You're correct.
Yeah. I keep saying that. No. Why are you looking at
me? Just leaving that ball right in your court.
No, but seriously.
You need to honor her.
And because, not just because you're commanded to, but you're the spiritual leader of your house and your kids are watching you.
That's true.
And your wife is watching you.
Yeah.
So treat her mother well.
Look, we're just on a different plane. That's all. And yes, it is a loftier, higher plane that shouldn't pump us up. It should humble us. But nevertheless, they just think differently. These issues are so important to them. Think about the issues that are important to you. And the reality is that their issues, as evil and wrong as they are just as important and, if you will, sacred to them. That's the cauldron that we are currently in. And to not be a stumbling block. You want mother, you know what's going to change mother-in-law's voting patterns? Salvation. Highly unlike, it does happen on occasion. It does happen where somebody's like, you know, I've been thinking this through and all of a sudden it's come to me. I mean, we see it on occasion. Some of these, is it Tulsi Gabbard? Okay, so she's Republican-ish. RFK. Well, independent, but, you know, hey, he kind of endorsed Trump. And so you see that on occasion. But most of the time, you don't. What will change bad political philosophies? I'm guaranteed. And regeneration. Let's keep our eyes on that. And then you can send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a text from Tyler. Todd, my mother is against the study of theology. systematic processes. Anything that's deeper than basic thought about scripture is frowned upon. And she says it's adding your own words to scripture. How can I continue to converse with her?
And just keep loving her. You know, instead of framing it like, hey, I'm going to teach you now about imputation. Isn't that great that our salvation is outside of us and it's secure in the person of Jesus Christ? There, you just talk systematic theology. You can share those things without framing them like, you've got to learn this, or you've got it wrong, or I'm going to teach you something. Just share. Like you just found a diamond, because you have. You've got this, hey, I just read this. Wow, how amazing is that? And that will just remove it from the couch of feeling like academia, which apparently she's averse to. Why? Because you're trying to become all things to all people that you might win or grow some. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, production of Fortis Institutes. We start in California, where voters have managed to surprise everyone, including themselves. They rejected a statewide minimum wage for the first time in state history, which would have pushed wages to $18 an hour. The measure fell short by 240,000 votes. I guess watching local fast food joints struggle with the current mandate of $20 an hour gave voters a taste of economic reality. A dark money environmental group has invested millions in teaching climate activists the exotic skill of speaking like normal people. The potential energy coalition's Talk Like a Human campaign suggests replacing doom and gloom phrases with more positive messaging. Instead of climate crisis, they recommend extreme weather. Or rather than sacrifice, say enjoy. But judging by recent polls, which show Americans heavily favor fossil fuels, they might need more than a vocabulary lesson to sell their agenda. And to Pennsylvania, where the Department of Education has decided teaching teachers what to think isn't quite the same as teaching students how to learn. A lawsuit challenged their mandatory culturally relevant and sustaining education program, where officials quietly agreed to rescind the guidelines. And now teachers across the state can return to their original mission of education rather than ideological affirmation. And DC Comics had decided Superman needed yet another makeover, this time as a climate refugee with anger management issues. Our new Man of Steel sports long, unkempt hair and a snarling disposition, having rejected those pesky Midwestern values the Kents tried to instill in him. Meanwhile, Batman's trading his mansion for a garage workshop, and Wonder Woman swapped her Paradise Island for a demon horse. And at $4.99 per digital copy for the comic, I think readers probably are wishing for a hero who could fight inflation instead. Elon Musk has taken a break from his usual tech ventures and noticed something rather obvious about falling birth rates. He said maybe telling young women that having children ruins their lives is the best cultural message. Yeah, agree with that one, Elon. And as Sweden hits its lowest birth rate since 1749, Musk suggested that we might want to consider our societal fears of baby carriages. And what might go down as history's most peculiar protest movement? Progressive Americans are responding to Trump's victory by stockpiling an interesting combination of Plan B pills and hormone treatments. One provider jumped from 600 daily requests to 10,000 after the election, with some activists even pursuing sterilization, though reducing your own voter base might seem like an unusual political strategy. But they don't strike me as those who think things through like that. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. And if you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to be a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, as always, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm fine. I'm just fine. I'll carry on. This is Wretched Radio. Fine, I'll tell you what's making me a little verklempt. The stuff of life. That's the stuff that you cannot buy. The things that no amount of money, no amount of labor or effort can produce unless you are desiring things that produce fruit that is so beyond jewelry or looks, clothing, or a trip. They're kind of the intangible things that just make life deeper and more profound. And I just got one of those texts. Out of the blue, one of my kids just texted to everybody, I love my family. That's it.
I know which one didn't send it.
You two kids need to be separated. That's just like, wow. I've got an adult child who still loves her family. You can't buy that. You can't go to Amazon.com and you can't purchase this and put it in your cart and bring it home. It's the stuff. Tim Challies is experiencing the stuff of life right now. He's a grandfather, which is, how old is Tim Challies? Can you Google us and let us know how old?
I can.
That whippersnapper. Of course you can. You can find out his favorite ice cream. The internet has everything on everybody. In fact, the other day, I'm talking to a buddy. Yes, I have friends, not many, but I do have friends. And we were talking about laminin. LA, it's not what you put on floors. That it's laminin. It was a sermon by Louis Giglio from years ago. And we were talking about it. And then he holds up his phone and goes, look what just popped up. Louis Giglio's sermon on laminin. What? You mean they're listening? Yeah. Yeah, they are listening. How old is Challies?
47.
Yeah, he just looks like a pup. 47, but he's enjoying the stuff of life. He's got a grandchild. And I saw a picture of him holding it, and he's got that look on his face. Even, I don't know if it's true of women. I haven't observed it on women. Women have more of a glow about them. It's more of a settled sort of thing when they're pregnant. But what I've noticed about guys, when they're getting married or when their wives are pregnant or they just had a baby, it produces a grin that is unique. You can't duplicate it. You can't impersonate it. It just comes from the heart. Just comes from the bowels. It's like, oh man, I was about that. This is amazing. And it's all there in a smile. Why? Because grandchildren is the stuff of life. If you're younger and you've been stalling and delaying, getting married, having kids, please rethink it. You're missing out on the stuff that is profound, and it'll make you smile and it'll make you glow. And then you can send whatever you want to idea@wretched.org or text away at 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Mike. Todd, I was recently listening to an episode about Tucker Carlson's demonic attack.
Yeah.
When I first heard him talk about it, I thought that he was either lying or just had some sort of bad dream. But you seem to think his experience may have at least happened. But here's what I don't understand. Why would demons scare people into reading their Bibles?
Well, if you don't know the backstory to it, Tucker Carlson claims that he was in bed, asleep, wife next to him, sound asleep, light sleeper, apparently, and he believes that he was attacked by something demonic. Now, do I believe that is a possibility? Do I know for sure what happened? Of course I don't. But do I know that that's a possibility? Sure I do. Could it have been his dogs? Yeah, could have been. But he doesn't seem to think that it was his pooches. Instead, he seems to think it was demons. And the reason that I think that his story has some credibility, unless the dude is like a total sham, and I don't get that vibe from him, he says that he's got the scars, like some like scratches on the side of his body. Okay, where did that come from? Well, an option is demons. They are still active. They're still prowling around. And so he said that it was that event, that night, that led him to start reading the Bible in earnest for the first time. And you can tell he's a changed man. He's starting to get all of this stuff. And he's the pieces of the puzzle, he's starting to like put together. You're just watching it. It's fascinating for me to watch. Now, the questioner that was sent to 877-282-2337 is, why would a demon attack Tucker if the result were going to be that he read the Bible? And the answer is Job. Satan went after Job like a nobody's business, and he didn't know what the consequences were going to be. Satan and the demons, they cannot predict the future. They did not know what Tucker was going to do. I'm just imagining, hey, we've got permission to go after Tucker. Let's rip him up. Let's scare him. Maybe he'll quit. I don't know what they were thinking. They no doubt weren't thinking it was going to lead him to read the Bible, but God did. And so God, if you will, grants permission for them to prowl about doing their business because he uses even their evil deeds to bring about good results and glory to him. So I think I don't see any complication in that story that the demons wouldn't have do it because they knew he would read the Bible because they don't know. And if you're wondering, by the way, can demons, okay, if they can't predict the future, they can't predict the future accurately, but I would suggest this, they maybe are better predictors of it than most. And the only reason I say that is because they've been prowling about for how long? Thousands of years. They've learned some stuff. They've seen some patterns and trends. They know that if I do this with this guy, or if I put that in front of that person's path, chances are they're going to do this. Yeah, they probably know that stuff, but they do not know definitively what any outcome will be. That alone belongs to God. Do they, however, have access to your thoughts? There is nothing in the Bible that indicates they do. Nothing. They'd have to get past the Holy Spirit, and that just doesn't happen. They can influence, they can put things in your path, but they do not have access to your brain. They can't get into your dreams. So those are a couple of the reasons that we don't need to be scared of them, like, oh boy. Furthermore, the one who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. But that doesn't mean we get cheeky. It doesn't mean that we start taunting. And when we start teasing or we start thinking that we somehow have superpowers to bind or to send away or to build a hedge, we don't have those superpowers. But God does, and you don't need to be afraid of them. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous, who texted in. Todd, does boxing promote a low view of man?
Yeah.
If so, is it a sin or liberty issue?
Okay, I'll just tell you. I think somebody could make a really strong case that that is exactly right. Hmm. That it promotes a low view of man because you're swinging for somebody's noggin to put him on the mat. I mean, that's the ideal. That's the best outcome. If you're a boxer, it's not a draw. It's not coming to the end of 12 rounds. And by the way, how's about that Tyson fight? Oy, gavilta fish, Larry. Should have known. We should have all known. We should have known this. We should have known that it was going to be this way. Because there ain't no way a 58-year-old man can get into the ring with a big 28-year-old man. And some, unless it were one lucky shot. Nevertheless, you could argue strongly that it is a low view of man because the best result is not, it's hurting somebody. Which, I'm going to have to go back, probably do a little search on this, but when boxing was invented, there were individuals that thought that, hey, this is ugly. We need to have some rules. If two men are going to agree to a competition, to go into a ring, to determine who's tougher, the bare knuckle thing has got to go. So gloves, you know, you see the headgear and the mouthpieces, and we've got rules, we've got limits on time, you got ropes, you've got a referee. Those were all added to just bare knuckle brawling because we thought this, we need to be a little more civilized than this. Nevertheless, it's still about knocking somebody out. But here's where I find myself compromising on it, because I think that is true of the MMA stuff that I see. It's bare knuckled, barefoot, and it's just so, there's always blood in that sport. Boxers regularly get puffy. Occasionally, they get a split lip, and they get a headbutt to the eyebrow, whatever. But the guys that are in the MMA, man, it is ugly. And I look at that, and I go, I think that's crossing the line, and I don't think that is appropriate. What's the distinction in my mind besides the brutality of one versus the brutality of the other? Preference. I kind of like watching boxing. I don't care for MMA. I find it just too... Whew, it's just too low of a view of image bearers. I don't think it crosses that line with boxing. Could I be wrong? Yeah. Yeah, I could. Because the reality is on this issue, like we can with many other issues, I know I'm not giving an answer, but perhaps this will at least be a confessional that might be helpful. I got to be careful. I don't bring my preferences to the issue because I do think you could make the case that boxing with rules and all still could be a low view of image bearers. This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
You know that awkward moment when your theology starts to collide with real life? You know, when you're quoting Romans in your head while you're losing it in traffic. Yeah, we've all been there. And that's why we created Integrated with Dr. John Krotz. It's one of the brand new productions of Fortis Institute that helps you take biblical truths, the ones that are stuck in your head, and actually help you to live them out. Because honestly, let's face it, theology isn't just for Sunday mornings. And so while you're listening to Integrated with Dr. John Krotz and learning to bridge that head-to-heart gap, we encourage you to also go by FortisInstitute.org and sign up to become a Fortis Insider because it's absolutely, totally free. Every day, we're going to send you fresh content that helps you navigate this crazy, brave new world. Think of it as your daily dose of biblical sanity. And while you're there, you can download the Fortis Plus app, also free. You sense the theme here. And get instant access to hundreds of hours of content that'll help you stand firm when the culture is trying to knock you over. Just visit FortisInstitute.org.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in, but those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, I'm your hypocritical host, Todd. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
Why are you a hypocrite now?
I like boxing and I don't care for the MMA. Okay. That's all. I can't give you an exact pinpointed, here's the exact line and rule, except it's my preference. Please send your preferential wretched things to 877 what?
I'm just going to correct you on something. I guess I could have waited to the question and just...
You could have waited till we were off the air. This is humiliating.
You said that we shouldn't have expected anything less than Mike Tyson losing that fight.
Yes.
There were like 12 opportunities he could have won that fight.
No, he couldn't have.
Yes.
He didn't have it.
It was fixed.
It could have been 18 punches, dude. 18 punches. Now, they were shortened rounds. There were only eight rounds. So in 16 minutes, he threw 18 punches.
He could have killed that kid.
Why didn't he?
Because he made a lot of money not to.
Why? Wait a second. Hold on. Hold on. Maybe you're hearing this where you are too. Is that a helicopter in the distance? Who are they that wanted that kid, who apparently isn't a very popular fellow, to win?
Who are they?
Yeah.
He himself.
What's all? He paid Mike Tyson money?
His company's worth a lot of money.
So you think...
I don't know the truth behind it. I wasn't in the room when all the negotiations went, but I don't want to believe any less about Mike Tyson, so that's what I'm going to believe.
You like Mike Tyson?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I like his legacy.
So you like cannibals?
That's right.
This is what you like. Could he have? I don't know. Here's what I thought. When he came out of that corner, I went, nope, not going to happen. Because he used to come out of the corner like a raging bull. He was like a missile to the guy and would throw one or two punches, ding, 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 all over. He kind of sauntered out. He looks like he had a kind of a bad knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he just held tight. And I didn't see any flashes of anything. He could have thrown some punches and dinged him up a little bit. Nothing. I think he was trying to... Okay, so here's my conspiracy theory. Good Christian radio, for real. Right. Here's my theory on the deal. That Mike Tyson, I think, was paid $20 million, something like that.
Right.
And he's going... I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm picking up my paycheck and I'm headed to the Bahamas for retirement. Write what you want to. I'm protecting my head. And I think that's what went down. Okay. So there.
Okay.
Wait a second. I think I hear that same helicopter flying over head. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ben. Todd, I've gotten to the point where I do not see the point of prayers of supplication. I've not heard or read anything convincing me that my prayers are actually changing my circumstances. I ask and hope to receive as scripture commands, but do not actually believe those prayers will make a difference, especially when ordinary means are not in place.
Mm-hmm.
I know prayer does not change the will of God, but I don't see what purpose prayers of supplication have.
Well, let me just boil this down, which might come across a little bit sharp, but it's in an effort to perhaps encourage you. If you are right that your prayers of supplication have no value, have no impact, then the Bible and God are wrong. Now, that resolves it right there, because the fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. Trust that promise. Keep on praying. Don't stop petitioning. Jesus told you to ask and to seek and to knock. Keep banging on heaven's door. The Lord hears all of your prayers, and you need to trust that however he answers them, and he does answer them. There are no unanswered prayers with God. It's just that sometimes his answer is no, or later, or I've got a better plan. And he implements that. But that does not mean that you should stop praying. You should continue praying fervently. In fact, I would encourage this, and I know that this can quickly devolve into crazy sort of word faith and the horrible, you insist that God deliver on his promises. Don't want to do that. But I do believe that we should pray with expectancy. Do we really believe that God wants to hear our prayers and listens to them and, rightly understood, responds to them? Do we believe it? Then how are we praying? Just maybe ask yourself the question about something really difficult. You've got a really prodigal child, and you're thinking they're just too far gone. As you speak, they've got a heroin needle between their toes. And, okay, well, Lord, if you can save them. No, don't be weak in your prayers. Lord, you sent your son to save sinners. Please save my child. I know you love to save people. Please find joy in saving my child. I'm trusting you with my child. I'm powerless in this situation. I'm fully trusting you. Do a great work and pray with expectancy. That God does indeed answer prayers. And just to deal with what I think is always an accompanying question to a scenario like this, Well, what's the point if God is sovereign? Everything is predetermined. I understand it this way, that your prayers were known before eternity passed. And that's woven into God's very meticulous plan for what he does and how he moves. So keep on praying, because if you're right, God is wrong. And we know that's not an option. 8-7, you got something else?
Yeah, I would just say that prayer, it's because he talked about changing his circumstances, and it's not necessarily meant to change your circumstances or to change God's will, but prayer is meant to change your will to align it to God's will.
That's very true.
And so I would just focus on that.
And don't forget, if maybe this could be a component of it for this fellow, that prayer should be something that is sweet. Have you ever experienced this? You spend time praying, and maybe in the beginning you struggled. It was just hard to get your mind calmed down. I don't care if it's first thing in the morning. I don't know about your brain, but So getting that thing calmed down, it's a bit of a battle. But let's say that you stay in there. When you're done, don't you just kind of, okay, I hate to say it because it sounds kind of mystical, just feel better? Like, okay, it's okay. Even if it's something that you brought to the Lord, there is an issue, it's a struggle, it's a child, it's job, money, whatever, and you just spend time with the Lord in prayer, it's just good for you. Regardless of his answer, I think that he ministers to us through prayer. It is one of the means of growth, after all, that's listed in Acts 2:42. So please keep on praying and do it with some expectancy, with some optimism, and send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
Well, this is from John, and it's about prayer, so we're going to hang with that for just a second. He says, Todd, do we pray with, for, or over someone?
There's a prepositional challenge. You pray with somebody?
Yeah.
You pray for somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, and for and over, kind of the same thing. Yeah, I wouldn't import anything more into it than that, as if somehow one of those prepositions has more efficacy than the other. So you can do all of those things. If you do not have a copy of Ken Boa's Praying the Scriptures, you can get it at fortisinstitute.org. We still have the store there, and you can avail yourself of that book. I promise you it will help you. In fact, hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
This might make somebody you know very happy. If you get that book from us and you try it, and you, let's say, for 30 days, and you go, nah, this was stupid, send it back. We'll give you your money back. I look at you.
I'm trying to figure out who it's going to make happy.
Somebody you live with.
Oh, okay.
She's going to have to handle that.
Yeah.
But I know that you're not going to. It's so helpful. It's praying the scriptures, praying Bible verses, and it'll help keep your brain plugged in. Maybe it's been a bit since you prayed for a long time. Let's not get mystical, but it's just good. And you're missing out on something that is good for you. And you can always know that your prayers are presented to God in a way that is pleasing to him because they go through your mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on praying and keep on sending stuff to idea@wretched.org.
I need to pray for you.
You were going to try to just get away. You were just hoping I'd blather on for another minute and 4 seconds, weren't you?
So this is from Sarah. Todd, a person introduces themselves and says their pronouns and then asks what your pronouns are. Would saying any pronouns at all somehow be agreeing with this pronoun nonsense?
You're throwing me that one.
I am.
It's all nonsense. Don't be hateful. Don't be mean. Be helpful. Oh, my pronouns. Isn't it obvious? I think I've got some work to do. Because if you can't tell what I am, why would you ask that? And then try to minister to the person. They're just, they're so lost. And really, they're no more lost than any other lost person. It's just, in this type of thing, it's so obvious that you're just seeing a mind that is Romans 1. So don't get mad at them. But I don't think we should be participating in it. And I would even go a step further and say we can use it to help their minds get illuminated, which only happens through regeneration, which only happens from sharing the gospel. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.